been looking at the first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is a foundational commandment. We've seen what is required in this commandment. We've been looking at some of the things that the commandment forbids, or the extent, how far it goes. We see it forbids all forms of atheism. We mentioned three different forms of atheism. It also forbids profaneness, which we began to look at last week. And by that, we are not limiting that, of course, just to language, but to profane the name of God or the things of God is to treat God as that which is common. It's to take the sacred and prostitute it to common use. We saw in Hebrews 12, verse 16, that Esau was a profane person. Because of that, he sold his birthright. In other words, he thought lightly of it. And when we break the first commandment, we are guilty of profanity. That is, we have thought lightly of God. Anytime we put something ahead of God, we have thought lightly of God. It's not so much that we, though it is, but it's not the real problem, that we think more of something than we do God. The problem is we think too little of God, and that's this profanity that we're talking about. One of the ways that this profanity manifests itself, and again, when we break this commandment, these things are usually present. There's the desire to please men in preference to God. We looked at that last week. When that happens, we've broken the first commandment. We've put something ahead of God. The whole philosophy of self breaks the first commandment, or causes us to break the first commandment. The whole philosophy of self. I mean, if we go back into our lives and schooling, the philosophy of self has been fed to us throughout the years, and that, of course, is only increasing. Now it's almost entirely the philosophy of self, and therefore we have generations of narcissism, which of course creates problems everywhere. But the whole philosophy of self puts self ahead of God. Our biggest idol is self. Now, the philosophy of self shows itself in many ways. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, self-seeking falls under the category of the philosophy of self. And Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Self-seeking. By this, we mean a sinful seeking, when the things of self exclude the ways of God. It is when one seeks their own pleasure, their own profit, to the neglect of God. We can be self-seeking even in our seeking of the Lord, if we're doing it entirely for self. I mean, if we've said this many times, but if we really examine I mean, really get down to examining and being honest. I doubt that there's anything that we do that there is not a degree of self in it. It's our nature. And there's self-love. People love themselves more than they love God. In Isaiah 47, Isaiah 47, and verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Now, this verse says a lot of things. We see there are those given to pleasures. They're enslaved to it. It's their life. This individual, of course, dwells carelessly. Anyone who seeks or is given to pleasures lives a careless life. It goes on to say, thou sayest in thine heart. Now, this individual may not come right out and say, I am and none else beside me. There aren't too many people that's going to come right out and say that. There's sure a lot of people think it. They say it in their heart. And then it goes on to say, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But those two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. What they're saying is, it'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me. Because that thought process, I'm above it. It won't happen to me. And how many people say, oh, I never thought this would happen to me? That's what this verse is talking about. It's the philosophy of self that is so in love with yourself that you actually think that you are above something happening in your life. It can happen to someone else, but somehow you're above it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Again, what makes times perilous is men shall be lovers of themselves. This is what leads to perilous times. It's what leads to putting things ahead of God. It's the love of self that causes someone to put a pleasure ahead of God. It's the love of self that causes someone to put family ahead of God. So this love of self causes one to break the first commandment. It is a breaking of the first commandment, and it causes one to further break the first commandment. So a love for self, of course, is an inordinate affection for oneself without due subordination to the Lord. It shows an unwillingness to submit to God. Another thing is self-pleasing. Just live to please self. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Again, these things are all part of profanity. These things cause us and are a breaking of the first commandment. Romans 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That is, that's not to be the goal. That's not to be our aim. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with pleasure coming our way and something that makes us happy. It's a matter of seeking to please ourselves to the neglect of the Lord. Another philosophy or another branch of the philosophy of self, of course, is self-confidence. If we're filled with self-confidence, we will break the first commandment. Self-confidence puts our ability ahead of the Lord, and it causes us to put many other things ahead of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 addresses this. Notice in Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." This trusting in our own hearts, Hosea 10, verse 13, addresses this matter of self-confidence. It shows itself in an insensibleness of our own sinfulness and our own insufficiency. We read there in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Self-righteousness is another branch of the philosophy of self. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." That's what feeds self-righteousness. Because you can always find someone that you think that you're doing better than they are. And that feeds self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a breaking of the first commandment. Self-righteousness will cause us to further break the first commandment. So this profanity shows itself in the philosophy of self. This profanity shows itself in worldliness. Worldliness. Worldliness is a much broader term than most in Baptist circles think. Worldliness is a heart problem. It is a heart problem that will usually manifest itself outwardly. It is thinking too highly of the pleasures of the world, the things of the world. It's putting worldly things ahead of God. But worldliness is not simply limited to going to the wrong places. That's worldliness. It's not limited to that. Worldliness is not limited to improper dress. That's worldliness. It's a manifestation of it. But you can't limit it to that. Worldliness is a heart problem. It's a problem in the mind. You can not go to the right place or not go to the wrong places and still be worldly. And still be worldly, still thinking in your mind, "Well, I wish I could go there." Well, that's worldliness. That's worldliness. In Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, and, you know, some people will make statements like, "Well, if I can't do it, they shouldn't be able to." That's worldliness. You wish you could. That's worldliness. That's a spirit of worldliness. And that will cause you to break the first commandment. Luke 21, verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time," that is, it can happen suddenly, and it can happen at any time, "your hearts," that's inward, "be overcharged." That means to be burdened, to be weighted down with surfeiting, excess, abundance. Our heart is weighted down with the excess of the world, with the abundance of the world. That's worldliness. And drunkenness. Certainly that's worldliness. And cares of this life. And so that day, speaking of the day of the Lord, cometh unaware. That is, it causes you to get your minds off of God. If your mind is on the world, that's worldliness. If your mind is on the world to the extent that it takes your mind off of God, that's worldliness. Again, you may not go to the sinful places, but if you're so caught up with the world in your mind, that's worldliness. And it's a form of profanity. It's a thinking lightly of the Lord. To think too highly of the world is the result of thinking too lightly of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, we're to set our affections on things above. That's inward. Setting our affections on things above. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 12, talking about the grace of God. It teaches us. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. That's outwardly. That's inwardly. It's in every form that you can possibly think of. We're to deny, we're to refuse ungodliness or anything that is contrary to God. That's ungodliness. And worldly lusts, worldly desires, whether we carry those desires out, worldly lust is worldliness. Certainly if you carry them out, that's the manifestation of worldliness. But the very worldly desires is worldliness. That we should live soberly, righteously, godly. Talking outwardly now. He's talking outwardly. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship, that's concord, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, it's a very plain statement. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. It is an act of enmity against God. It is the act of an enemy. It is the work of an enemy of God. It's a serious charge. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Again, that's a very plain, very serious statement. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, very familiar verse, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because he's, again, acting as an enemy. It's enmity against God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, speaking of covetousness, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. These follow the philosophies of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So when the focus upon and the desire for the things of the world and the pursuit of the things of the world are in preference to God, that is worldliness. Whether it be outwardly, whether it be inwardly, that is worldliness. Part of this profanity is an aversion to fellowship with God. If we have an aversion to fellowship with God, it's we've put something else in the place of God, which is a breaking of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So when, notice in Job chapter 21, Job chapter 21, verse 14. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us,
for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. There's an aversion to God. There's an aversion to the fellowship with God. Anytime we have an aversion to God, we have an aversion to fellowship with God, we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, what is it that I have put in the place of God? Something has been put in the place of God. The first commandment has been broken. And again, the first commandment's the foundation. You break the first commandment. Where does it stop? It just continually progresses and progresses and progresses. And the individual actually convinces themselves, well, I'm not putting anything ahead of God. God knows my heart. But it's a continual putting one thing after the other before God. And it's no longer that God is second. He's so far down on the list that he's not even on the list. So breaking the first commandment is very serious. All indifference toward God is a breaking of the first commandment. We put something else. We prefer something else to God, which causes us to be indifferent toward God, which again is part of that profanity. So again, all of these things that we've mentioned are very commonplace, but they are rarely considered to be in violation of thou shalt have no other gods before me. Many of God's people think that they never break the first commandment. But we break the first commandment all the time. And it's what leads to the breaking of the other commandments as well. Again, you break the others, it all comes back to the first commandment. It all comes back there. You've put something ahead of God. It could be your own feelings, it could be your own pleasure, it could be anything. But you break the other commandments, you have broken the first one. It all comes, if you trace it, it all comes back to something has been put in the place of God. So this commandment forbids atheism in all of its forms. It forbids profaneness, and it forbids idolatry, which is we'll look at next week. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In that commandment, God outlaws idolatry. He forbids it. So what does that mean? That means that all forms of idolatry is a crime. It's a crime against God. And we need to think of it in that way. If God set the law and we break the law, it's a crime. And it is a crime against God. So we'll look at idolatry. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. Again, we thank you for your laws. We thank you, Lord, that you put a hedge about us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've established these boundaries for our own good. And we just thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to worship you in a way that would please you. We pray that you'd manifest yourself in a mighty way. For those that are lost, Lord, we pray that you would open their hearts to salvation this day, that you would save their souls this day. We just pray that you would draw us closer to thee at this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.